All right, so today we're diving into something that's super relevant, making the digital world work for everyone, especially folks who are visually impaired. We're taking a deep dive into some really insightful articles and blog posts from this German organization, the Gesellschaft zur Entwicklung von Dingen.
Okay.
And they've got some really interesting points about digital accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how even simple things online, if you can't see the screen, it can be a real challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the first one we were looking at here, they talk about data tables. And now before you totally tune out thinking, spreadsheets, who cares?
Oh, right.
It turns out, like, for someone who's using a screen reader to actually use the internet, data tables can be, like, a total nightmare.
Yeah.
Because instead of just reading, like, you know, row by row, some screen readers will announce each cell individually.
Wow.
So it'll be like column 4, row 3, on and on.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Imagine trying to keep track of any of that, especially on a really big table.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like one of those things you totally take for granted if you're just looking at it, right?
Totally.
You can visually scan it. It's organized, but when you have to listen to it like that.
Oh, it'd be impossible.
Yeah, it'd be really tough.
And this article really digs into how important proper table structure is. And this is where I kind of get lost. What does that even mean?
So it all comes down to how developers use HTML, right, which is the language behind web pages, to actually build these tables.
Okay.
And there are specific HTML elements for, like, headers, for the body of the table, rows, cells, and these act as instructions, basically, for the screen reader.
Oh, okay.
So when it's done right, it's like you're giving the screen reader a clear roadmap.
Okay.
So it can present all that information logically.
So it's like instead of giving someone a whole box of puzzle pieces all jumbled up, you organize them by, you know, their shape and their color.
Exactly.
And then they can actually, you know, put it together.
It makes all the difference.
The information's all there. It's just how it's presented.
Exactly, yeah.
So then they go on and they talk about online forms, which can be like a whole other obstacle course, apparently.
Right, right.
For someone who's visually impaired. And they open with this anecdote about someone trying to, like, order food online.
Okay.
And just hitting a wall.
Hmm.
And it just makes you realize, like, why should that be so difficult?
Yeah. It's interesting how many things that sighted users just take for granted. Like, I don't know, like labels on the fields in the form, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Knowing which ones are required, getting those little helpful error messages, those things are often missing or just totally inaccessible to a screen reader.
So you're just like left in the dark, literally.
Yeah, yeah.
You have no idea if you're even filling out the form correctly.
It's true, yeah.
One thing they mention here, it's called ARIA attributes.
Yes.
I'm assuming that's like adding in audio instructions almost to the website code specifically for these screen readers.
Exactly.
Am I on the right track?
Yeah, you're totally right. It's like little notes hidden in the code to give that extra context.
Okay.
So, for example, ARIA required will flag a mandatory field, and then something like ARIA invalid that would give feedback if there's an error.
Okay.
It's like those little audio cues in a video game that kind of guide the player along. You know what I mean?
It's amazing, though, how those little things that most people wouldn't even notice can make it or break it.
For sure.
Literally, like, determine whether you can order a pizza or not.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to switch gears a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about screen readers themselves. So this next article, it's all about JWS versus NVDA, which are like two of the biggest names when it comes to screen reader.
Right.
For Windows users, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing here is the author, they mostly use Macs and Linux.
Okay.
So they're coming at this from a totally different perspective.
Interesting.
And one thing that really surprised them was they're like, wow, even though JWS is supposed to be like the best of the best, they were saying that it really struggled with open source software.
Oh, interesting.
Like even something like LibreOffice, you know, the free alternative to Microsoft Office.
Right.
What's the deal with that?
Yeah. So JWS is really powerful, but it relies a lot on these custom scripts to work well with different applications.
Okay.
Especially anything outside the mainstream, you know?
Right.
Like open source software. It's kind of like you need a special adapter.
Okay.
Every time you travel to a new country or something,
right.
It's just a little bit of a hassle, and sometimes you just can't even find the right one.
Yeah.
And that can be a real barrier for users, especially, you know, in professional settings, maybe where they rely on those open source options.
Yeah, and maybe where they don't have the biggest budgets to work with.
Exactly.
To do all this extra adaptation for software and stuff.
Exactly.
Like accessibility is like an afterthought.
Right. Right. Unfortunately, it can be.
Like they just tacked it on later rather than building it in from the ground up.
Yes. But there are some encouraging trends, I guess, in the other direction.
Like what?
So this article actually goes on to really praise NVDA, and a large part of that is that it's open source.
Okay.
The author actually raved about its speed, how customizable it is, and obviously the fact that it's free is a huge win for many people.
That makes a lot of sense, because when something's free and it's open source, that means more people can contribute to making it better.
Precisely, and more adaptable, yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, this article, it's more than just praising NVDA. It's really calling for this broader support for open source solutions when it comes to accessibility.
Okay, yeah.
You know, because with open source, everyone has the potential to access the code, modify it,
right,
make it more adaptable for their needs. It's like the difference between, you know, a bespoke suit.
Okay.
That's tailored to you versus trying to find something off the rack that sort of fits.
Right. It's like one size fits all doesn't work when it comes to tech.
Especially in this, like, you know, the digital world.
Right. Exactly. And it actually, this ties into the bigger picture of digital accessibility that I think these articles have been, you know, kind of exploring.
It's more than just like checking boxes.
Yes.
To be like, oh, yeah, we're compliant.
Right.
It's really about understanding that, like, the digital world can be experienced in fundamentally different ways.
Absolutely.
By people with different, you know, abilities.
Yeah.
And we have to think about that from the very beginning.
100%, yeah. Building that empathy into the online experience.
I love that. Building empathy into the experience. It's about, like, belonging.
Yeah.
Like, making sure everyone feels welcome and, like, they can participate.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like we forget that these online spaces, they're just extensions of our physical world, and they should reflect those same values, right? Like inclusivity, respect, all of that.
You know, it makes you think, if something as simple as a data table can pose such a challenge, what other aspects of the digital world are we just totally overlooking?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Because we often design with a very specific type of user in mind, right?
Right. We assume everyone can see perfectly. They can hear everything.
Exactly. Exactly. So what about, you know, users who are deaf or hard of hearing?
Right.
What about folks with motor impairments who might not even be able to use a mouse?
Yeah. Or people who, you know, cognitive differences where it's hard to process a lot of information at once.
Exactly. Are we designing with their needs in mind? It's like we've built this incredible interconnected digital world, but we've unintentionally put all these barriers up that prevent so many people from experiencing it.
And it's not just about inconvenience, right?
No, not at all.
It's about equal access to information, to education, even just like connecting with people.
100%. Yeah. Job opportunities. It's everything.
Yeah. And those are like fundamental rights.
Exactly. Yeah, they really are.
So where do we even start?
Well, I think it starts with awareness, honestly.
Okay.
Recognizing that accessibility is not just a technical thing.
Okay.
It's not just a box to check. It's not a legal requirement. It's a fundamental human right, like you said.
It really highlights that human element of it all, doesn't it?
It does.
It's about empathy. You know, really stepping into someone else's shoes to understand the challenges they face online.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And it's not enough to just understand. It requires action.
Okay.
It means advocating for inclusive design, supporting organizations that are prioritizing this, calling out barriers when we see them.
So we all have a part to play in this.
Absolutely, we do. Okay. And it doesn't always require, you know, these grand gestures or these massive overhauls of everything. Sometimes the most impactful changes come from these small but intentional steps, you know?
So give us some examples. What are some things that our listeners, designers, developers, content creators, or even just everyday internet users, what can they do in their own lives to kind of contribute to a more accessible digital world?
Well, I always say, for starters, you know, take some time to learn about the principles of accessible design.
Okay.
There are tons of resources out there. The W3C, they have their web content accessibility guidelines, the WCAG.
Right.
There are articles, blog posts, videos by accessibility experts.
So it starts with educating ourselves.
Exactly. A little bit of learning goes a long way.
What else? What about for people who aren't, you know, designing websites or apps?
Yeah. So if you're a content creator, for example, think about how you can make your work more accessible. So for videos, always include captions and transcripts. Use descriptive alt text for images so screen readers can actually describe them. Structure your content in a clear, logical way.
Actually, that's just good practice in general, right? For SEO and everything else.
Exactly. Accessible design often is just good design.
It's a win-win.
Exactly.
What about for folks who aren't creating content, what can they do?
Be mindful of accessibility in your everyday interactions online. Like even something as simple as when you're sharing links on social media.
Okay.
Take a moment to actually include a brief description of what the link goes to.
Okay, yeah.
That way, someone using a screen reader, they know what to expect before they click on it.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm totally guilty of just copying and pasting links without even thinking twice.
Yeah, it's a small change, but it makes a difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, choose to support businesses, organizations that are prioritizing accessibility.
Okay.
Opt for those websites, those apps that are designed with that in mind. Let companies know that you value that.
They like voting with our wallets and our clicks.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to speak up when you encounter a barrier, you know.
Okay.
Let these companies know when their websites or products are inaccessible. Encourage them to do better.
We have a voice, and we should use it to advocate for positive change.
We couldn't agree more. Yeah.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation. As we wrap up our deep dive into digital accessibility, what's like the one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
If I had to sum it up, I'd say accessibility is not an afterthought. It's a necessity. It's not about catering to special needs. It's about acknowledging the spectrum of human abilities and ensuring that everyone can participate fully in the digital world.
It's about recognizing that the digital world, just like the physical world, should be built for everyone.
Exactly. When we create barriers that exclude even one person, we all lose out.
So well said. And on that note, I want to encourage all our listeners to check out the Gesellschaft zur Entwicklung von Dingen's website. They've got a ton of resources on digital accessibility. Who knows? You might be inspired to become an advocate for change yourself. If you found this deep dive insightful, please share it with your friends, family, colleagues, anyone who will listen. Spreading awareness is crucial for building a more inclusive online world. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.